Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Well, we're glad you could join us
tonight. It's evening for us. I don't know when you'll get to watch this service, but certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here. So grateful to God for the spiritual blessings, and I'm going to ask you before I begin the message tonight just to continuously pray for the leaders of our country. They need direction. They need spiritual leadership. I certainly don't give any of them credit to being like God or able to discern the mind of God, but I can tell you this, if we'll pray for them, it'll help. I believe prayer makes a difference, and I can assure you that I covet the prayers of people that pray for me, and so let's please pray for the leadership of this country. Also, pray for the quick resolution and cure or whatever needs to be done. I'm just looking forward to the day when then we can see the houses of worship back open and people allowed to go back in and to serve and to worship, and we just miss it so much and miss everybody so much and just appreciate the Lord. Thank God for the men that are here with us tonight, the few that are supporting us in this effort, and just ask that you'd continue to pray for us as we meet each week, a couple of times each week to record services. And we don't know where they're going. This is so different, looking at empty benches for the most part. We don't know where they're going or who's going to hear them, but in some regard, that's the exciting part, is that God can do things with this that we had no idea. Amen. Just didn't know who needed it. And so I'll pray that when you listen to these, that if God moves you, amen, share that with somebody. Amen. Send that to somebody that may be in need and pray for them. And let's just pray that spiritual revival would break out all over this land as people become serious about the Word of God and truly have a greater hunger for it. Well, turn with us tonight to Hebrews chapter number 12, and I'm going to ask everybody to be obedient to God, and hopefully as you're listening to this, your Bible is close, that you'll open up the Word of God and let's give reverence to it as we read it. Hebrews chapter number 12, I'm going to begin with verse number 18. Hebrews 12, verse number 18 says, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart." And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, "Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And this word, "yet once more," signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Father, open your word to our hearts. We're but the messengers, so speak clearly to us, and may every heart listen earnestly and hear. May we be changed by this truth. May it go out and find the place that it's intended for. May every soul be moved by its power. And Lord, I pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves, but instruments to this work, and pray for the clarity of mind and speech. We're desperate for you as we ask for this simple thing. For we pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. I want to share a message tonight. It excites me every time that I open the Word of God and it just begins to speak. I shared with Brother Thomas a week or so ago. It seemed like I was in a dry place and just couldn't hear very well. And I thought to myself, as with every preacher, we need to be spiritually diligent, regardless of whether it sounds like he's talking close or that he's far away. We need to be diligent, and God is faithful and will always come through. And I'm so appreciative tonight of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And it's helped me, if it don't help anybody else. So you pray for us. I want you to, as a context tonight, the book of Hebrews is certainly one of the most wondrous foundational doctrinal truths that you'll find, where the Apostle Paul spends nearly the entire book trying to convince the Jews of how much better Jesus is than the law. And I'll have to say I agree with Paul. Amen. I don't want to go backwards. I want to go forwards. And I'll tell you, it's a new way, he said, a living way, consecrated. And I'm so grateful that God made a better way for you and I. And as I looked at that, and as the Lord led us into this particular passage of Scripture, I was reminded of the great challenge the apostle had. The Jews certainly entrenched in Judaism, and having been taught all of their lives, all of the Jewish rituals and customs and feast days and laws and all the things that were tied to those laws that probably didn't have anything to do with God, and certainly had become within itself just a great ball and chain, as that people really couldn't get out from under the law as it continuously condemned them. And here the Apostle Paul was preaching to a church that had been born again, a people that had come up out of this Judaism, and Jews that had come to know Christ as their Savior. And he was trying to teach them the importance of not allowing the things of the past to come in and to bind grace and to steal the mercy of God and to take away the preciousness and the singularity of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he comes preaching in this particular book and telling them of a better way, a better covenant, a better place, better promises. And in this, he's certainly trying to bring the Jewish people into that place where their hearts really see the power of God, and that Christ is all in all. Amen. And I'm so grateful, amen, just to be a part of this place, as I think about what they must have went through before Christ, and how tedious that law was, and how there was never a reward in that law. There was never a peace that was obtainable there. All man could find was his own condemnation. As he looked at the law and recognized that within himself he had no way to be right, no way to truly be perfect. And we look at this better way that God has made for you and I. And we, friend, above all things ought to rejoice that Jesus is the better way. And people think that there's so many ways that you can get to God. Let me be clear tonight. Paid but one way to get to God tonight, and that's through Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Oh, it's a better way. It's a better way, friend. If you're stuck in whatever religion you're in, and maybe you're deceived tonight, and you have no real hope of salvation in your heart, you don't know for sure that your name's written in heaven, may I say to you tonight, you can be born again if you'll believe. Because all it takes is to believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, that's a better way. That's a better way. Amen. I'd have never made it if it wasn't for grace. Thank God for a better way. The Apostle Paul here, I mean, he accentuates how much better it is by reminding them of the difference between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. Oh, what an exciting thing to think about. You may think today, and I know people get hung up on customs and rituals and traditions and all kinds of things of that nature. But friend, if it don't line up with the word of God, hey man, if you need to, let them things go. They won't profit you anything. Those are not the kind of things that'll bring peace to your soul. But I tell you, the word of God will. Amen. There's truths here that'll set us free. And I hope this encourages you tonight like it encourages me, because I found a better way and I want the world to know about it. Amen. The children of God ought to be excited about this better way. Now the Jews would have understood everything the Apostle Paul, who being a Jew himself, was fixing to share with them. They would have understood clearly what he was talking about. When he began to speak about that mount that burned with fire, that mount, that terrifying place that Moses led the children of Israel into, when he led them out of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, God led them to that mountain. And there God told Moses that he would speak with him. And the scripture said he went upon the mountain to speak with God. And the Bible said that he come down in a great and a thick cloud, and there was thunderings and there was lightnings. And God had warned him. He said, "Now you have all the people prepare themselves before this day when we discuss." He said, "Have them wash and have them make ready. And on that third day, when they come together," he said, "you be sure that not a beast nor man touches this mountain lest they die. Thrust them through with a dart or stone them. But if they touch the mountain of God, they'll surely die." I want you to know that it was a terrifying thing. As God began to speak to Moses, amen, the scripture said, the children of God, he come off that mountain, they said, "Tell God, don't talk to us no more. We don't want to hear the voice of God. You go up there, Moses. You get the words of God, and we'll listen to you." I want you to know, Paul, I was reminding them of Mount Sinai and the fearsomeness of our God, who, bless God, according to Paul, is a consuming fire. He was reminding them of that way that Moses had brought to the children of God. Amen. But then he began to tell them about a different mountain. He began to tell them about Mount Sinai. Amen. I'm going to share with you just a few differences here in just a second. But for context, may I say to you, according to the Apostle Paul, the Mount Zion is the city of the living God. Amen. A place that is holy, a place that ain't earthly. Amen. It's a place that where God dwells and the Son of God dwells. It's the place where men go when they leave this world in faith, having believed in Jesus Christ. It is the place, friend, that we're on a journey to. Mount Zion, that holy city, New Jerusalem, that place where God is. He said there's a difference between these two mountains. I want you to think about the difference tonight. Number one, Mount Sinai was earthly, but Mount Zion's heavenly. Which one would you rather to go to, brother? Hey man, everything I heard from the book of Exodus, I don't want to go to there either. I don't want to go to Mount Sinai. Hey man, where the voice of God speaks in a terror. Hey man, that even Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." Amen. I don't want to be in a place, hey man, where it's just earthly. And friend, if you touch that earthly mountain, that the fear was tied. Amen. I want to be in that heavenly mountain. Amen. Thank God I found a better way through Jesus. I don't have to go to Sinai. Amen. I can go right to the place where God himself exists. I can go to Mount Zion. Amen. And there I can find what I'm looking for. Yeah. At Mount Sinai they had a mediator, which was a man. Amen. At Mount Zion, I've got a mediator. Amen. He was born man, but he was God. Amen. He was the God-man that died in my place. He was the one, amen, that paid the penalty for my sin. This Mount Sinai we refer to, it was an earthly place. But bless God, where he's telling us here, what the Apostle Paul says, is you don't come unto this place anymore. You come to Mount Zion. Amen. And that's a heavenly place.
That's a heavenly place. May I say to you that Mount Sinai was dark. Yeah, it was dark. The scripture described it as always burning and a smoke that continuously rose from it. Dark. I don't know about you, but when if I'm given a place I want to go to, it ain't a dark one. I find that the shadow of the law was always dark upon his people. The shadow of the law was something they could never finally keep. Amen. And every year they'd have to bring their best and offer it up unto God in hopes that he'd receive that sacrifice and that he'd forgive them of sin. May I say to you today that Mount Zion is better according to the scripture. It's a place of light. It's a place, amen, where they don't need no sign because the Son of God is the light in that place. The Apostle John said it like this. This is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. You say, what changed? That's what I want to talk to you tonight about. What changed? What's the difference between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion? May I say to you today, Sinai was dark. Sinai was filled with the awesome power of God and his judgment. Amen. On those that were unholy. But Mount Zion, friend, has somebody that freed us from the darkness of that sin and what bound us by the law. Amen. God is light. God is light. The reason they couldn't see the light then was because of the absence of the mediator. Yeah, there was something missing from Mount Sinai. All they had was the law. They didn't have grace. They didn't have the covering. They didn't have the very thing that made what was dark light. Mount Sinai was dark. Amen. But Mount Zion, it's light. Mount Sinai next is, it was terrifying. As even Moses himself described his exceeding fear of having been in that place. It was a terrifying place. And when the voice of God spoke, the people trembled and said unto Moses, entreat God not to speak to us anymore. Oh, how thankful of a better place than that. I'll tell you, I treasure the voice of God above everything else. Amen. I'm so glad that I can go unto Mount Zion and that there's one that'll speak with me. Thanks be unto God. When they stood at the base of that mountain and they heard the rumblings and the thundering and the voice of God as it spoke, and they trembled and quaked in their flesh, I thought to myself, yet my God says now, come, come unto the throne of grace boldly, that you might obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. May I say to you today, that's the difference between Zion and Sinai. Brother, there's joy and peace in Mount Zion. You won't find terror there. You won't find terror there. Only the sinner can't stand before God. And yet Zion is a place contrasted with Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was dangerous. According to the scripture, if you touch Mount Sinai, you were to die. But let me say this to you, if you touch Mount Zion, you're going to live. Everything about touching that place is about life. You can't get more different, son. There ain't a big enough way to share with you the difference between that way and this way. Amen. You could touch that place. It was earthly. But bless God, the heavenly place touches you. Thanks be to God that it's a new way, a living way. In a better way, it's a better way. It was a dangerous place. You die if you touch Mount Sinai. Oh, but friend, when you touch the city of the living God, you're fixing to live. You're fixing to live. Whether you touch it for the first time or the thousandth time, it always speaks life. Oh, the times I treasure every time. Amen, that I'm able to touch that heavenly place. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, we're made to sit together in heavenly places. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for a better place. A place where people were terrified to go to at Sinai. And yet with the city of God, this heavenly place, it's a place that our soul desires and finds its greatest form of comfort in the city of God. The scripture tells us that Sinai represented bondage. Certainly everything that happened there required that the people sacrifice, and it required, because of the anger of God from their sinfulness and their wickedness and their idolatry and all of these things, amen, Sinai was a never resounding sound for justice. It was never a requirement to their souls for the need of a holiness in their own lives. And yet within their own lives, they had to realize that they couldn't do it. And that every year they came short. Every day they missed the mark. And yet we find, amen, that the danger that took place there, amen, the bondage that fell upon them. If you contrast that with the city of God, the Mount Sinai I'm speaking about, amen, there is a freedom in Christ that has set us free. Amen. The Bible said that that's been set free by Christ is free indeed. May I say to you today, whatever bondage you're under, whatever addiction may have you, whatever form of sin may have corrupted your soul and bound you to the hard things of this world, may I say to you, there's a better way. There's a better way. And that way is through Him that hath saved us. Oh, what a better way that Christ is, a better way. We think about all of those wonderful things. And the Apostle Paul here, as he was trying to contrast so carefully the difference between these, amen, it comes down basically to the old covenant versus a new one. The old covenant that God had made with Abraham concerning the people of God. That seed that would come from Abraham and that would become Israel through Jacob and through the tribes of Israel would be a people that would carry the name of Jehovah, the living God. And He who would fight their battles and deliver them and would be unto them a God and they unto Him a people. He had made a covenant with Abraham that He would bless him. And bless his seed, and that from all nations of the earth would be blessed by them. And that through him would come the Messiah. May I say to you today that the promise that was better in that whole thing was that the Messiah would come. Oh, and he came. And when he came to fulfill what was old and to establish the new. It was a new way. People call it the old way, but it's the new way. It's the new way. Christ is the new way. A single covenant that He made. A covenant that would forever change everything else. A promise that He would make. A sacrifice that He would give. We find in verse number 24, this is really where we wanted to end up with this message, is in verse 24. We find here two things. You say to yourself, well, how can there be such an extreme difference between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion, considering this, that God doesn't change.
Amen.
God doesn't change. Even Paul in verse number 29 said, for our God is a consuming fire. He wasn't in any way suggesting that somehow or another the nature of God had been reversed.
Right. Amen.
No, far from it. God is holy and will always be holy.
Right.
And so is His Son. You say, preacher, then what is the difference? May I say to you, as Paul said to them, it's the mediator. The difference between then and now is the Lord Jesus Christ. The difference is the one who took my penalty for that sin that I was guilty of and died in my place. He became the propitiation for my sin. The difference is Jesus today, and that is a better way.
Amen.
See, God hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. but what was necessary. And since the beginning of time, this being the plan of God, since the foundation of the world, was to offer His only begotten Son ultimately as the sacrifice for the sins of mankind. You see, when He cast Adam and Eve out of the garden, He did so. And He said why? He said so we might protect the way of the tree of life. You see, because what He knew, they didn't understand. Yet to come was a Messiah. He'd tell the prophets about it. He'd whisper in their ear, He's coming. I've got a better way, Bruce. I keep offering. Keep giving the sacrifices. But He's already stated that the sacrifices is not what He was interested in. What He wanted was the sincere desire of the heart. What He needed was something that would ultimately pay for your sin and for mine. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. A better way. A better way. Let me ask you right now, do you know that you're in the better way? Are you right now certain that your name is written in glory? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the difference between what they were under and what I am under is that Jesus came and became my sin. He who knew no sin, amen, took my sin upon Himself. According to the Scriptures, He became sin. The sins of the whole world. The sins to the point that holy God turned His back while Jesus hung on the cross. That He might bear the penalty for every sinner. And He might become the mediator for every saint. It's a better way, you see. Because we have a mediator, Jesus Christ the righteous, who stands in our place. The Apostle Paul was speaking about the difference between going to Mount Sinai and coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, a heavenly place. He was explaining to them, contrasting for them, the great difference between then and now. And in verse number 24, He brings in this second part. And He said, and to the blood of sprinkling. What's He talking about? All the while, He's talking about coming to the city of God. And every time that you bow on your knees in prayer, and with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, you begin to cry out unto God. There is a door that's opened. May I say to you today, you say, when did such a link get created? According to the Scripture, when Christ said, it is finished. The veil in the temple was opened up. What separated God from man and man from God was opened up. That whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. The Lamb of God opened up the spiritual link between there and here. And brother, you can go there each and every day. Oh, what an amazing thing. In the time that we're living in now, we certainly are bound by a whole lot of different rules and the different practices. And a lot of us that are having to work from home, we have to do so now via some kind of connection. Whether it be Skype or Zoom or GoToMeeting or all of these different methods of just being in a meeting. In every one of them, you've got to have a phone number. It's a unique phone number that you get when somebody sends you an invite. And on that invite, Bruce, it'll have a phone number that you're to dial. And then it's going to have a participant ID. And when you dial that phone number, it's going to ask you for the ID number. And if you dial the right one in and you hit pound, it'll join you to the meeting. There was a meeting line established one day. Boy, this is a better way. I want you to know. There was a meeting line that I got an invite to one night. In 1976, God sent me the invite to the meeting. You say, preacher, I hear there's a password, yeah. It's simple. Jesus is the name. And every time that I go in the name of Jesus, I get let into the meeting. And I can hear the heavenly going on. I can discuss with the King of Glory himself the wondrous things of his glory and his nature. God has made a way to link man to himself. By the way, let me be clear. He did reconcile man back to God.
Amen.
And he did so through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. A better way. He said, you've come to a holy mount, the city of the living God. You've come to the mediator, Jesus Christ, and you have come to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I want to stop right here, and I want to tell you that are listening that the blood speaks. Now, I'm not making that up. You read it. It's in verse number 24. It says, the blood speaketh. You say, preacher, if the blood speaks, what does it say? And who is it speaking to? That becomes the question, right? We need to know what blood says and who it speaks to. I want to give you the reference that Paul used here as he was speaking to them. You can go back into Genesis chapter number 4, I believe it is, where Cain killed Abel, his brother, murdered him. Cain killed Abel. There he hid his body. And the scripture said that God came to Cain and he said, what is this that you have done? He said, for the blood of your brother, he said, cries out up to me. The blood of Abel was speaking unto God. Let me stop for just a minute. Now hear me. Whoever's listening, it don't make no difference who you are. When innocent blood is shed, there is a voice that is calling out unto God. You say, preacher, that's not that relevant. I beg your pardon. They abort millions of innocent children every year in this earth. All across this world. They reach among the most innocent of us. And they strip them of that. You say they don't have blood? Yes, they do. Amen. Their heart's beating. And I can tell you right now, it don't beat without a purpose. It's to pump blood through that little body. And just because they ain't born, may I say to you, they are known by God. They are known by the Creator, and there is blood in there. And when that blood is violated, it has a voice and it speaks to God. The voice of Abel's blood spoke to God. Number one, as you think about how the blood, what the blood says and who it says it to, I want you to notice that the blood speaks to God. And it speaks to God in behalf of sinners. The innocent blood of Abel cried out unto God for vengeance. Amen. He was innocent in this and had been murdered by his own brother. And here we find that the blood of Abel, who had been slain, had cried out unto God. God heard the voice of Abel's blood. He heard the requirement for that blood. You see, the blood that speaks to God in behalf of those that are sinners, it cries out because of the vengeance, the need for justice, the need for a holiness. Because when innocent blood is shed, there's a voice. There's a voice. And that voice went unto God. God heard the voice of that blood. And that voice required that there be a recompense, that there be some kind of vengeance for the slaying of an innocent one. And here we find that God came and he judged Cain just as he should have, I guess. But here we find for him that there was another blood that was shed. I want you to think about the blood of humans. Amen. The blood of an innocent human. It might cry out unto God for the vengeance. It might cry out unto God for a need for there to be some form of retribution. But I want to share with you the blood of the mediator. I want to talk to you for just a minute about the blood of one who came and according to the word of God had to become man.
Right.
Amen. It was necessary that the Lord Jesus Christ, who before sat at the right hand of God, amen, and had to leave his throne, amen, to come down here to be born of a virgin, conceived in the womb of a woman, Mary, by the Holy Spirit, and be born in flesh that he might have blood running through his veins, a heart that would beat that blood and course it through his veins, that he might give that blood for you and for me. Give it for us. Oh, but let me tell you what the blood of Jesus said to God. Amen. As it was spilled, shed there at Calvary, as they began to drain the blood from him, as they beat him. Amen. As they whipped him, as they pulled out his beard, crushed the thorns upon his head. Amen. Scourged him. Amen. Until his flesh just became as it were a gaping wound. And the blood flowed from the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at Calvary, as they nailed him to that cross, and the blood continued to flow. And him having died, the scripture said that they broke the legs of the other two men. And seeing Jesus and knowing he was dead, the soldier took that spear. He slid it up under the ribs on his left side. And he pierced that sack that held the heart. And went right into the heart. And the Bible said that what came out was blood and water. He said, when you come to Mount Zion, you have come unto the blood of the sprinkling. A better blood than Abel's. Not a blood that called out for vengeance. Ain't you glad? Not a blood that said I require justice. No, but the blood of Jesus Christ. When he had gathered it up and offered it unto God, this blood said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This blood said, forgive them, they're not worth it, but you love them and I love them, and it's payment for their sin. This blood didn't cry out in vengeance. This blood said mercy to all. Apostle Paul was saying, that's better, ain't it? Yeah, that's better way. That's a better way. Not a blood that said they require punishment. But on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, the blood spoke to God that day. Spoke to God. Amen. And the blood of Jesus Christ said to God the Father, who is a consuming fire. I have died in their place. And this is the atonement that will cover all of their sins. I'm going to say something here right now, and as I thought about it this week, I thought, you know, I ain't sure about how it is, but I know how it was in the scripture. The Bible said that when the old accuser went before God, God told him, he said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. Satan said to him, he said, there's a reason Job's like that. He said, it's because you've got a hedge about him. He said, I can't touch Job. He said, you take that hedge down. He said, Job will curse you to your face. God knew that Job wouldn't do that. Amen. He wouldn't put him through it if he didn't know how Job would be. You know what that tells me about that? The devil has to have permission to get to me. And if he does get to me, that means God let him get to me. And if that's the case, then he's already made a way for me to escape.
Amen.
He's already made the strength that I need to get through it.
He's already secured me and made me in a way that I can, through the faith in Jesus Christ. Get behind me, Satan. And he has to flee. But he went before him and he accused Job, and he found out in the end that Job was a man of integrity and that his faith was sound. And I thought to myself, if the enemy has the opportunity still to go to God and make accusation. Now, as I thought about this, I also thought in my mind, well, I ain't so sure he still has opportunity to do that. That was then. This now. You say, well, why wouldn't he still want to do that? Because every time he comes and tries to accuse the child of God, they something starts speaking. They something starts saying, hey, you can't say that. Amen. In my mind's eye, if it was able to happen, I can see him standing before God and saying, hey, what about that man down there on 6 Mile Road? Amen. What about him? He struggles and he has problems and he don't get it right. He don't deserve to be a child of God. And there's a mediator that stands up, and there's blood that begins to speak and say, wait just a minute. I took every one of his sins, past, present, and future, and I cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. What sin are you talking about? What about that sorry Bruce Whitehead? And the blood speaks and says, what sin? What sin? When the blood of Jesus Christ covered my sin, it forever spoke unto God a covering. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is a better way, you see. This is a better way. I'm under the inclination the devil don't choose that tactic no more. He's tired of beating his head against the wall. Because every time he accuses a child of God, the blood speaks out. And says, no, I've already paid for that. You can't bring that up. That money don't spend in heaven, in Mount Zion. It don't work. Sinai, yeah. Yeah, they'd have condemned me all day long on Mount Sinai. But when you go to try to spend that money, it's counterfeit in Zion. No, because the price was paid for my sin. You see, the blood speaks to God. The blood of Christ being better than the blood of Abel that cried out for vengeance. The blood of Christ cries out for mercy and grace and forgiveness and love to be sent to the sinner. For Paul would conclude it like this in Romans 5. For God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The blood speaks to God, and it speaks in our behalf. The blood says he is as white as snow. That's incredible, isn't it? The blood says he is white as wool. The blood says he is perfect and ready to enter into Zion. But the blood also speaks to me. The blood speaks to me. Every time that we began to contemplate the simple truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, what truth is that? Paul said it to them this way. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Here is the gospel. He said, I determined to know nothing among you save this one thing. And that was Jesus Christ and him crucified. The blood speaks to me still. According to the scripture, it's necessary that we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves. You say, preacher, how in the world do I humble myself? Let me give you a very simple practice that I promise you will work every time. Think about Calvary. Begin to contemplate in your own heart, as if you were there, the suffering of Jesus Christ, the Lord. He who, when he returns, will be King of kings and Lord of lords, and to whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He suffered because of me. There is nothing that humbles me more than to know, to contemplate, to think of the pain that Jesus, the Son of God, the King of glory, endured for my wretchedness. The blood speaks to my soul, and it shows me how depraved a sinner that I truly am without him. It shows me that there was one price that was paid, and only one that was given, that made me free. The blood speaks to me, and it humbles me. It brings to me an awareness of my condition and how desperate and depraved, apart from the love of God that I truly am. The love of God through His Son brought the blood of Christ to be the atonement, everlasting atonement for my sin. And that speaks to my heart. But the blood also speaks in very clear and distinguished ways to remind me that I am no longer what I was. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because I have been born again by the Spirit of God. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You say, preacher, what convinces you of such a thing? The blood of Christ convinces me that the price has been paid for my sin. I am forgiven.
Right. Amen.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ. It speaks this truth. We know this because He shed His blood. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But it also speaks this as we close. The blood of Christ speaks to the fact that there is no other sacrifice to be given. The only blood that was good enough to pay for the sin of the whole world, to whosoever would believe, the only blood that God could receive was the blood of His perfect Lamb, His only Son. And so Christ was born into this world. Became flesh is what John said. The Word that was from the beginning became flesh, and we beheld Him as the only begotten of God, full of grace and glory. We beheld Him, and God, through His Son gave His life, and that blood that was shed was so that you could go free.
Yeah. Amen.
Let the accuser accuse you. But He can only take me to the blood. Because when we get to the blood, He'll find that my sin is gone. It is under the blood. The blood speaks for me. And the blood speaks to me. I'm not perfect. Nobody here is perfect in the flesh. But let me tell you something about when I go to Mount Zion. When I go to Mount Zion, Thomas, I'm not a visitor. I'm a citizen. They don't peek through the door and say, "What are you doing here?" Harrison, they swing the door open for me. And the mediator says, "Father, Tommy's back. I ain't a stranger in that land. It may not be home yet, but it's where my citizenship lies. And I am on the journey. And every time I go to the throne of grace, every time that I come under the holy Mount Zion, amen, the doors open up. And the King of Glory says, come in, son, come in." The Apostle Paul, with a great boldness of spirit, penned those words and told us to come unto the throne of grace with boldness. Say, "Preacher, how in the world can something as wretched as you or me come unto the holy Mount Zion, the city of the living God?" I'll tell you how. I've been telling you how. Through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His blood that speaks for me.
Amen.
And so he penned. He penned in that next verse as we close. I want to read it to you. Verse number 25. He said these words. He said, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." Let me just stop right there. Amen. Enough said. "See that you do not refuse he that speaketh." You say, "Preacher, I'm sitting in my living room and there's something troubling me. There's something moving in my heart right now. I'm suddenly terrified. I recognize that I'm a sinner." May I say to you today, don't refuse him that is speaking to you. You say, "Who's speaking to me?" Jesus is speaking to you. The blood of Christ is speaking to you now. It is compelling you to surrender your heart to Christ, to believe in Jesus Christ and be saved today. He's speaking to you. Don't refuse him. The apostle said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You cannot get to heaven. You cannot escape the flames of that awful place, the torment of hell, the pain of an eternity lost without God forever. You cannot escape it without Jesus, the mediator. You cannot go to heaven without the blood of Christ. It is speaking to you now. When it speaks to your soul, "See that ye refuse it not, but receive it." Accept it. Believe it. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. The blood speaks for you today, and it speaks to you today. What will you do with the message? Would you bow with us as we pray? Father, I pray for every soul hearing this, every heart who is now convicted somehow because they know the blood of Christ, the pure, the undefiled atonement that paid the penalty for our sin, is speaking to them. The purpose that we're here today, that we exist, is that Christ may be exalted and that men may know that the only way to the Father is through His Son. And so we present to all that will hear the simple truth of the gospel, that whosoever would believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and confess with the mouth that they shall be saved. And we trust today that every heart hearing this has been honest and receptive as the blood speaks for them and to them. And to this we give you the glory, for we ask it in the only name of power. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.